The more I hear about Turkey, the more I would like to go there myself. Istanbul in particular, the place where East meets West. A sprawling city crossed by the Bosphorus River, which has one bank in Europe and the other in Asia, has exerted its charm and mysterious fascination on travellers, artists, writers and philosophers for centuries and centuries. As a matter of fact, the whole geographical area today defined as Turkey, a predominantly Muslim nation, is actually where much of Christianity, right from its very beginnings, flourished and spread.
In fact, it's strange because the whole of the ancient Near East was Christianized because it was within the Roman Empire. So from the period of Constantine onwards, in fact, the first Christian missions were in the Middle East, obviously emanating from Jerusalem to Samaria, to Judea, and then out to the ends of the earth, which was Rome, as is said in the Acts of the Apostles.
That's Father Edmund Power, the abbot of the Abbey of St. Paul outside the walls, here in Rome. I asked him whether he agreed that Turkey today represents a particularly special place for a Catholic pope to visit. Didn't St. Paul himself, I said, spend three particularly fruitful years there too?
Paul certainly was involved in setting up communities in what is now Turkey, then Asia Minor. The Christian roots are deep and long there, so you're right, it was essentially Christianity was the religion of those regions. And then with the rise of Islam, obviously things changed. It's interesting the way Islam was viewed at the beginning by Christians. Obviously, a lot was taken from Christian practice. It seems that the Prophet Muhammad had contacts with Christian hermits and so on. And a number of elements of both Judaism and Christianity are found within the Quran. But it seems that the Christians at the beginnings of Islam saw it as essentially a Christian heresy, among others, you know, an aberration of Christianity, but another form of Christianity, just as I suppose Christianity itself was seen as an aberration of Judaism, another form of Judaism at the beginning. It's only later, with the conquests and the military expansion and so on, and the great dominance of a large part, that Islam became the dominant religion of that area. And Christianity, therefore, although more ancient, and although it's continued within those areas, has a much lower profile because Islam is so strong. So it's difficult, really, I suppose. You know, people talk about the difficulty Christians have of practicing within a predominantly Muslim environment, and that does seem to be the case.
And that brings us right to one of the points currently under discussion in much of the media. The difficulties Christians in Turkey often face have been highlighted again and again these past few days. It's one of the effects of the Pope's journey. Another effect is to shine the light on Christianity's Eastern face, the Orthodox one, so different to the Western face in many ways, and yet so alike.
One obvious difference is the difference of language. Traditionally, the Greek, I suppose, is the original language of the Christian church in a way. The Jerusalem community maybe spoke Aramaic, but the New Testament is written in Greek, and that was the language in which the celebration, at least in the expanding church, once it moved out of Jerusalem. Then, of course, the language of the West was Latin. So the difference of language, although it was one Roman Empire, maybe also reflected a difference of culture. People say that Latin theology is far more legalistic and clearly defined, and the Roman mentality, whereas the Greek mentality is far more subtle and philosophical. So you can see a kind of a natural diversity, maybe. So when these people talk together, even in the early church, you know, how far they really understood each other is an interesting question. But at least there was unity at that point. If you look at what are the main differences nowadays, The sacramental practice, the concept of the sacraments, for example, the concept of prayer and so on, I'd say are not very different, really. A number of differences arise from the understanding of authority, because within the West, the idea of a very strong central authority, because there was only one apostolic see in the West, it was the ancient capital of the empire, Rome. With the decline of the empire, the Pope took on a great importance, a political importance as well as a spiritual one, and so his role became something very significant. In the East, however, different patriarchates, each jealous of their independence, meant that there was more maybe of a collegial sort of system in a way. There wasn't the one dominant figure. Now, that has advantage and disadvantage, I'd say, you know, because what one thing that seems to have happened in the Orthodox world is the growth of quite strong local or autocephalous, what they call autocephalous or self-ruled churches with their own patriarch or metropolitan. But they were often rather national, and because they were focused on particular countries. And so you had a group in unity with each other without a strong central head. The Patriarch of Constantinople was primus inter pares, had a position of honour, but not a sort of juridical position, whereas for political reasons in the West it was different. Now, the advantage of the West, I'd say, is that it can transcend national boundaries in a much more clear way. It's an international body. Although focused in Rome, the position of the Pope as a point of unity means that it doesn't matter whether you're English, French, German, Latin American or Asian, that there's a unity. Whereas I think the independence of the local churches in the Orthodox is a stronger thing. I think probably within the Orthodox tradition, the concept of the papal primacy would be a particularly difficult issue to sort out. But there are other features that they have a similar ascetical practice, for example, the concept of celibacy, the monastic life and so on. There's an awful lot in common, and hopefully it would be possible to find some way in which the church could come into unity without actually losing the local richness.
Father Power's patient explanations have made things a little clearer for me, although the complexity of the issues highlighted during this journey call for much study and learning. What, I asked Father Edmund Power, do you see as the main challenges of this trip?
Well, the main challenge from the point of view of world perspective is obviously the challenge of his first visit to a predominantly Muslim country. And I think people's eyes are less on the Christian ecumenical dimension, which I think was the primary one, really, of going to visit the Patriarch of Constantinople. People now see it as an approach or to see what he will do, what he'll say, how he'll seek reconciliation within the framework of a Muslim society that has been to some extent inflamed, it seems, by some of his remarks, particularly the Regensburg comment, which of course was made within the framework of an academic lecture. I think what the reaction shows, the whole population of Turkey is not going to be up in arms against him. Obviously, there's certain people who with maybe a somewhat fundamentalist slant, probably. But in a way, what this does, it does strangely underline what, in fact, the Pope himself has hinted at, that, you know, there are cultural differences, that this strong reaction against a kind of academic approach to cultural questions on the part of people who believe very deeply their faith but don't perhaps enter very easily into the Enlightenment mentality of the West, which takes academic discourse, freedom of speech, etc., for granted. It does underlie what Benedict himself said when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, for example, suggesting that maybe it wouldn't be completely easy for Turkey to enter the European community because of the big cultural difference, and that maybe, in fact, it's interesting, he wasn't criticizing its culture. He was saying that maybe it would damage its culture being brought too much into the ambit of Western culture.
Finally, I asked the abbot, What is your personal hope as regards to what the legacy of Pope Benedict XVI's journey will be?
My hope is not... Well, I'm looking at both aspects. I had the good fortune 3 years ago to be able to visit Istanbul in Holy Week, in fact, or the Orthodox Holy Week. That year it was the equivalent of our Easter week. So we'd already done Holy Week here in Rome and then went and did Holy Week in Constantinople, Istanbul. And we attended the Easter services, the liturgy at the Patriarchate, celebrated by the Patriarch. And I was struck at the difficulty of their life there, you know, that their church quite small, a sense of siege, that there were security checks to go in because the situation isn't completely secure, and how the community of Greek Christians in Istanbul had diminished it considerably in size. But they were very, very welcoming. It was a wonderful visit. There was a real sense of welcome, and I remember thinking how wonderful it would be if we could somehow build up again the Greek Church of Constantinople, and maybe in some closer unity with us. So I hope that this visit of the Pope to the Patriarch will actually be a big encouragement, not just at that level, but also will build up the friendship between Rome and Constantinople, which is so important, really. The other thing, of course, in some ways more important for the world as a whole, is the whole East-West dialogue, East in the sense of Islam. And with all these difficulties, I just hope that his visit will enable those Muslims who come into contact with what he says to realise that his message is not one of crusading zeal, but one of seeking ways in which to be reconciled in peace in this day and age. And we know how much the world has suffered recently and has suffered throughout its history from conflicts and aggression and so on, and misunderstanding. So I hope it'll have that deeper purpose of maybe unity, not just between Christians, but also a greater unity between Christians and Muslims. Mm-hmm.